Chapter 2. I pulled into the driveway of my double-wide trailer and looked at the shiny, new blue Audi parked on the street right in front of my house. As happy as I was to see Jay, I could feel a tense knot forming in my stomach because I hadn't told him anything about Ibsith, Amrila, or the tunnel in my backyard.
"Who is that?"
Ibsith asked as she looked over her shoulder at the blue sedan. Jay was stepping out of his car with a wide smile on his smooth face. Jason Hoffman was about a foot shorter than me, and he had the slender but soft build of a man who spent most of his time working at a desk. The dark-haired man wore pressed and tailored slacks, along with a seafoam green button-up shirt that had a European cut to it, and Ray-Ban aviators covered his blue eyes. Jay had always been stylish. "That's my best friend," I sighed as I stepped out of the truck and offered Ibsith my hand to help her out. "Let me do the talking." Jay was heading up the driveway and was still grinning as he opened his mouth to say something, but then he stopped short as he watched the blue-skinned elven woman take my hand and step down from the truck cab. Then Amrila stepped out of the passenger side, and Jay's jaw dropped as he looked back and forth between the night elf and the Zinkari. "Hey, Jay!" I said in a cheerful tone to cover up the awkward moment of silence. "What a great surprise! We were about to cook up some steaks and have a beer." I walked down the driveway to meet him with Ibsith holding my arm, and her heart-shaped face was practically glowing with excitement to meet the friend I'd told her so much about.
"Hey, Eddie,"
the blue-eyed man said with a smile as he composed himself.
"Is this, your new girlfriend?"
"Yeah," I replied as I remembered he'd heard Ibsith's voice over the phone when she had first come to stay with me. But then I saw Ibsith frown out of the corner of my eyes, and the next words came out of my mouth unbidden. "Well, actually, this is Ibsith, my wife, and over there is Amrila." Amrila waved from next to the truck, and then she started to unload groceries from the truck bed. Jay just stood and stammered for a moment, and I couldn't blame him. I hadn't really intended to tell him I got married, but I didn't want to upset Ibsith by downplaying our relationship. Besides, the love I felt for her was real, and I didn't need some paper from the state of Ohio to tell me that. I just hoped my best friend would understand, and I swallowed past my suddenly dry throat.
Your wife?"
Jay finally repeated in a surprised tone.
"Mazel tov! That's great, I guess. Who's Amrila, then?"
"Oh,"
Ibsith said in a sweet tone.
"She will be Eddie's second wife, once she stops being so stubborn."
The dark-haired man's eyebrows shot up as he looked at me, and I laughed nervously as my heart skipped a beat.
Why don't you come in?"
I grabbed onto his arm. "The ladies can start getting stuff ready while we get the grill started and catch up." Then I turned and led the way into the house, and Jay followed closely behind me.
"Yeah,"
my best friend chuckled. "It sounds like you've been pretty busy." Amrila and Ibsith were happy to bring in the groceries and get the food ready for the grill, while Jay and I grabbed a couple of beers and went into the backyard. "I'm sure you've a lot of questions," I said over my shoulder as I pulled the bag of charcoal out of the shed.
"I wouldn't even know where to start."
Jay laughed lightly before he took a sip of beer, and he offered his hand to hold my beer while I got the grill ready.
"What the fuck, man? Married? How? When? Why wasn't I invited?"
I let out a long sigh. "She's not from around here, and..."
"No shit, man,"
he snickered.
"Is this something to get her a green card? I don't think you should..."
"It's not like that," I cut him off. "It's complicated. We aren't actually married yet, but we want to be."
"Are you happy?"
"Yeah." I smiled as I opened up the hood of the grill and started to pour in the charcoal. "I'm the happiest I've ever been."
"What's the deal with the..."
The blue-eyed man paused as he thought about how to best phrase his question.
"I mean, is the skin, the horns, and the ears all makeup? That seems like a lot of effort for a weekday."
"They're really into it," I replied. "It's all permanent. I know it seems weird, but they're both really incredible women when you get to know them."
"Are you really with both of them?"
Jay whispered with a devilish grin as he sat down on one of the lawn chairs next to the back porch.
I...
I don't know. I shrugged as I lit the grill with a long lighter. It's complicated. I know I keep saying that, but it is. Then I walked over to join my friend, and Jay handed me back my beer as I sat down in a chair next to him. It doesn't have to be, the blue-eyed man said philosophically, and he took another pull from his beer. I mean, as a lawyer, I would advise you to only legally marry one of them, but how you live your life and how you spend your time is your business. Lots of people are choosing to go for throuples nowadays. I thought I was going to get a lecture about moving too fast, I snorted, or biting off more than I can chew. Nah, Jay chuckled as he looked down at the grass. As long as you're happy, that's what matters to me. And if it does ever blow up in your face, you've got me to represent you in court. I don't think I'll need that, I grinned, but I appreciate the thought. Emrila and Ibsith came out just then, and they were both carrying plates of raw meat to put on the grill. The afternoon turned into evening, and the four of us gorged ourselves on steak and grilled vegetables. Jay told me how things had been going at his law firm, and he mentioned he'd also started seeing a nice Jewish girl his sister had set him up with. But it wasn't serious enough for him to introduce her to his mother yet. But when my friend asked me how things were going at my job, I just shrugged and said it was going really well. I wasn't usually the kind of person to lie, but I wasn't ready to tell anyone about the gloom yet. Not even my closest friend. Jay was the kind of guy who would only believe it if he saw the subterranean world for himself, and things were just too dangerous down there at the moment. I wanted to tell Jay everything, but until Ursinger, Ibsith's psychotic half-brother, was taken care of, I'd have to keep my secret a while longer. Last time I was down there, I found out there was a bounty on my head, and I had to fight an army of night elves to get out alive, so I wasn't going to throw Jay into the middle of all that. Eventually, it started to get late, and Jay mentioned he had work in the morning. It was nice meeting you both, the dark-haired man said as he shook Ibsith and Amrila's hands. It's good to know Eddie's got you both looking out for him, too.
I enjoyed meeting you as well,
Ibsith replied with a friendly smile. Jay and I left the ladies in the backyard, and I walked him to his car.
You were right, my friend smiled. They do seem pretty great. You're a lucky man.
I like to think so, I chuckled.
I know this is weird to say,
Jay said as he started to open his car door.
But I'm really proud of you, Eddie. You seem like you're doing really well. I don't think I've ever seen you this happy or confident. You're like a whole new man, and it suits you.
Thanks, Jay, I said as I shook my best friend's hand goodbye. That means a lot coming from you.
Take care now.
Jay smiled as he slid into the front seat of his Audi. You too, I replied. Next time bring your girlfriend. If hanging out with your crazy artist friend with his LARPer girlfriends doesn't scare her off, you'll know she's a keeper. Jay and I laughed together, and then he pulled away and drove off out of the cul-de-sac. I helped Ibsith and Amrila clean up the backyard and put the grill away, and then we all sat down to watch some TV together before going to bed. It was a great day, and I was glad Jay had stopped by like he had. I'd been wondering about the best way to tell him about Ibsith, and how to explain her and Amrila's appearances. But Jay just showing up the way he had was like ripping off a Band-Aid. I felt relieved, and it was another thing I could tick off my mental to-do list. The next day, I found myself bustling around the house and the backyard as I took care of some chores I'd been putting off the last couple of days since I'd gotten back from the gloom. I didn't realize what I was doing until my wife pointed it out to me. I was walking around the shed and pulling the weeds that were growing around the corners by hand when Ibsith came outside with a glass of iced tea for me.
My love,
the violet-eyed woman said as she handed me the cold glass that had begun to sweat in the summer heat.
You seem restless.
Today, the blue-skinned woman was wearing one of her new dresses. The rose-colored strapless dress fell several inches above her knees, and her long white hair hung in a tumbled mass around her smooth shoulders. I took a long drink of the refreshing tea, then I looked at my wife and sighed. I think you're right, I grinned. I'm running out of weeds to pull. What would you say to us taking a drive or something?
The furniture you ordered is supposed to be here before long,
the oven woman said with a mischievous grin.
But I could wait here for the delivery, and you could take Amrila for a drive.
You're just trying to get me to spend some time alone with her. I narrowed my eyes at her.
She is a warrior,
Ibsith replied with the same sweet little smirk.
So you should take her to do something a warrior would like. Maybe you could go hunting.
That actually sounded like a lot of fun. But it was too early in the year for deer hunting. Only small game were in season, like rabbits and squirrels. But I had another idea. Maybe I could take her to the army surplus store in town, I said, and then I finished the last of the tea in the glass. The guy who runs the place gave me a good deal on the AK, and I've been thinking about getting a new rifle.
I think that sounds like a wonderful idea.
My wife smiled as she took the empty glass. Then, like she was satisfied her plan had worked, the blue-skinned woman stood up on her tiptoes, kissed me warmly, and headed back into the house with a little skip in her steps. A devious minx. I finished cleaning up the mess I'd made weeding around the shed, and then I went into the house, cleaned myself up, and started making a list in my head of things I wanted to look for at the army surplus store. When I came out of the bathroom, Ibsith was cleaning up the kitchen, while the Zinkari woman was sitting on the couch, looking over her prized sword and smoothing out nicks in the blade with a whetstone. The horned woman was wearing a low-cut, crimson halter top that perfectly cupped her perky breasts and the form-fitting black daisy dukes she'd gotten the day before. The halter was several shades darker than Amrila's skin, but the effect of the tone-on-tone was highly alluring. As she ran the stone down the length of the blade, she bent over the sword, and her slight cleavage was showing off to its full advantage. Fuck, she was sexy as hell. Hey, I said to the red-skinned woman as I walked into the living room. I was thinking about picking up a new gun, maybe a few other things. Weapons and equipment stuff. Do you want to come with me?
Just me.
Amrila raised an eyebrow as she looked up from the sword.
Ibsith is not coming.
I asked her, I replied with a shrug. But she said she wants to wait here for the furniture to be delivered.
Then I will come along.
The black-eyed woman said as she laid her sword to the side.
It would be interesting to see a shop where they sell such weapons.
We could get you a rifle, too, I suggested as I watched the red-skinned woman pull on her new knee-high boots. Or a pistol, if you'd prefer.
They are very powerful weapons,
Amrila said with a thoughtful expression, and she zipped up the back of her left boot.
Obviously, there are many advantages to your guns, but they are so loud. I think I prefer a weapon I can silently run through the ribs of my enemy before they can call out for help. Though it could be quite useful to have something like your pistol for the times when stealth is not an option.
We can look around and see if you find something you like, I said as we headed out of the front door. Then we got into my truck and drove to the other side of Westhurst where Nathan's Army Surplus and Arms was located. The name of the shop was a bit of a pun, since Nathan, the owner and proprietor, was missing one of his arms, just like the Simpsons character Herman. The sign on the front of the store had a caricature of the owner painted on it, with one sleeve of his shirt rolled up and pinned in place, while the cartoon Nathan gave a thumbs up with his other hand. Nathan was a character, to say the least. The inside of Nathan's was like an army vet's art project. The eccentric owner had decorated the entire shop with olive drab netting, mannequins dressed and posed as soldiers, and fake foliage. It was all very creative and gave the store the feeling of an outdoor space. As Amrila and I entered the shop, I was expecting the usual stares and questions that stemmed from hanging out with a half-demon or an elf in the surface world. But to Nathan's credit, there was only the briefest raise of his eyebrows as he saw Amrila, and that was it.
Nice to see you back. Eddie, right?
The wild-haired man asked by way of greeting. Nathan Pearson still looked like he'd not combed his sandy blonde hair in a day or two, and he was dressed in an off-white Henley and a camo vest. Yeah, I nodded as I smiled. And this is Amrila. We thought we'd stop by and see what you have on hand. I was thinking about upgrading my rifle.
Well, let's see what we got,
the man in the camo vest said as he pulled out the massive key ring for the gun cases.
Are you looking to customize the old Bulgarian AK I sold you? Or do you want to look at something new?
I'm not entirely sure yet. I felt a little rush as I walked up to the counter and looked over the rifles in the display cases. I'd spent a fair amount of money yesterday, and Meyer had warned me not to go too crazy showing off my wealth. But a modest upgrade in my rifle, maybe a Glock and some odds and ends, wouldn't break the bank.
Let's see here, Nathan said as he affectionately looked over his inventory. I did get some ARs in, but last time you were in here, you said you were worried about getting it dirty.
Yeah, I think I said that.
Those ARs could be more accurate, but if you get anything under the cover, you gotta stop what you're doing and take care of it. That's why I recommend the AK to you. You want to stick with that pattern?
I thought about the gloom and the amount of time I spent crawling around in confined tunnels, and the general grit and grime that came with traveling underground. Yeah, I think I'd like to stick with an AK-type rifle, I decided. But maybe a newer model? The Bulgarian AK has done really well for me, and I've put a bunch of rounds through it. But it's been around the block, if you know what I mean. And I've more money now.
What is your budget like?
He asked with a wide smile.
Seems like you might be turning into a shooter.
I cleared my throat and glanced around the empty store. What's the nicest one you have?
I've got just the thing.
The wild-haired man grinned, ducked under the counter, and came back with a long black rifle case.
Now, these are a bit hard to get, and it's a definite step up from the Bulgarian, but oh boy, I think you'll like it.
With his one hand, Nathan smoothly unzipped the black case to reveal a beautiful AK-style rifle. I looked it over in the case, and it appeared brand new. Either it had never been fired, or someone had taken very good care of it. May I? I asked as I reached toward the rifle with a wide grin.
Help yourself,
the man in the camo vest said.
This is the IWI Galil Ace Second Generation. It's an Israeli make. Those Israelis have a way with weapons, and they've spent a lot of time perfecting this one. It's the top of the line without going custom. And the nice part about this rifle is it uses the same magazines as the one you already have. Charging handle is also on the left, so you don't have to reach around with your hand like you do with your current AK.
Nice, I said as I nodded my approval, as I pulled back the bolt and looked down the barrel to make sure it was clear. I mean, it looks like it's brand new. How much?
It is brand new, Nathan replied. So 2,000, but that includes the case, 2 bags, and I know you're probably going to buy a few more things while you're here, so I'll throw in a box of ammo with that too.
Perfect, I said as I laid the Galil back in its case. What do you have for handguns right now? I don't suppose you have any Glocks.
I think I have a couple of 17s kicking around,
Nathan replied as he thoughtfully stroked his chin.
Most people like the smaller 19s better, but your heads look big enough for the 17, and the 17 is where Glock got started. They'd be about 500 apiece.
I'd be interested in buying one of those, too, I said before I gestured at the red-skinned woman at my side. We're going to look around, but I'm definitely getting this new AK.
Fantastic,
the blonde man replied.
I'll start the paperwork.
Shall we? I smiled at the horned woman, who had been watching and listening to the exchange as she stood next to me.
Of course.
Amrila smiled back, and her sharp canines poked out of her lips in an expression that was equal parts adorable and devilish. Then we walked around the surplus store and looked at what was on offer. You never knew what you'd find in a place like this, and I picked up some decent binoculars, a headlamp, and a couple of spare pairs of basic protective earmuffs. I'd already done a bunch of research and decided to order a few nice pairs of Sword and Supreme Pro X LED noise-activated headphones online for when we went back into the gloom, but it would take a couple of days to get them, and I wanted to take the ladies shooting later today. I wanted both Ibsith and Amrila to at least learn the basics and the 4 rules of gun safety, since they'd be around all of my guns. Even if they didn't choose to use the guns, they should know how they work and fire them off a couple of times. Is there anything you'd like? I asked the red-skinned woman as she looked over the combat knives in a locked case in the back of the store.
No,
Amrila said as she looked up with a startled expression.
I do not need anything.
I didn't ask if you needed anything, I snorted. I asked if you wanted anything. I get that you're not completely sold on the idea of using guns yet. That's fine. I'd like you to have one, just in case. But I also know how good you are with those swords of yours. But if there's anything you want, it's yours if you ask. Amrila stared at me with a serious expression and then glanced back down at the display case. But the red-skinned woman seemed to be looking past the display of knives rather than at them.
I have never had anyone offer to just give me something.
The horned woman murmured so quietly I barely heard her.
Whenever anything had been offered before, it always came with a price tag, so I just made do by myself. The problem is, now that I have met you, and you have proven you expect nothing in return, I do not know how to respond to it.
We're friends, I said as I put a reassuring hand on the black-eyed woman's shoulder. No, more than that. We're partners, right? That's what you kept calling me?
Yeah, partner.
She smiled at me. so I've your back, and you've mine, and there can't be any debts between us, because when you need me, I'll be there, just like how I know you'll be there when I need you.
Thank you, partner.
Amrila breathed as she looked up at me from under her lashes.
But there is no need to buy me anything to prove your words. You have your new gun, so if you have no other use for it, I can use the old one. Though, I think I will still favour my swords. I have been fighting with them all my life, and I am very fond of them.
Fair enough. I grinned. Come on, let's pay for all of this and then see if the furniture has arrived. After that, we can all go out in the woods and shoot some guns. Maybe have a picnic after.
I think Ibsith will like the picnic part.
Amrila laughed.
For a princess, she certainly loves to eat outside.
The horned woman and I went back up to the front of the counter, where Nathan had the Galil all ready to go, and he'd pulled out one of his Glock 17 Gen 5s for me to look at. This feels great in my hand, I said as I picked it up and pulled back the slide to make sure there wasn't a bullet in the chamber. There was no magazine in the Glock, and Nathan seemed very careful about that sort of thing, but my first instinct was always to check and double-check. Everything else seemed in good shape, so I laid it on the counter and grinned. I'll take it. I also grabbed a few more boxes of ammo on top of the Galil, Glock, binoculars, cheap earmuffs, and the headlamp.
The new rifle will need to be sighted in since it's new, Nathan said. I sighted your old one in since I was selling it used.
Oh, I cleared my throat. How do I do that?
You go to the range, set up the target at 12-ish yards, he started. Keep the rifle prone on a bag or in a vise. There should be one at the range. Then you aim and shoot at the target. Your first bullet probably won't hit exactly what you're aiming at, so you adjust your front and rear sight until you're hitting exactly where you aim. There is a manual case that'll give you directions.
Okay, I said, as I glanced skeptically at the case. How long should it take?
Maybe half an hour, if it's your first time, he said. Then back the target out to 25 or 50 yards. Do the same thing to make sure you're really hitting where you're aiming. You got them binoculars, so that'll make it a bit easier, especially if your girlfriend can look through it and tell you how far off you are in either direction.
I was just going to go out in the wilderness and shoot, I said. I have a spot I used to go with some friends when I was younger.
Then get some of these targets,
Nathan said as he reached behind him to the shelf, grabbed a plastic pack of black circle papers, and set them on the table.
When you hit the circle, it'll make a bright neon paint color with a bullet tore through. Tape or staple it to a piece of plywood, and stand up against a sandy hill so the bullets won't bounce off anything. Don't be shooting at trees, and remember your safety steps. Be careful of what's behind what you're shooting. Also, it won't hurt to lie on your stomach when you're shooting so the rifle's braced. Less chance of your arm twitching when you're trying to aim.
Got it, I said.
After you zero in your iron sights on your new rifle, then you gotta do the same with your red dot.
Nathan glanced at the table and then looked around in confusion.
You want a red dot?
A red dot? I asked with a furrowed brow. I think I played a few video games where they were attached to the rifle, but I've never used one. Can I get one on this new rifle?
Yep, it's like a scope.
Nathan reached under the counter and put a box on the table.
But it just has a simple red dot on the glass that is always on target where you're aiming. Well, as long as you zero it in correctly. Makes it really easy to acquire your target. Most guys like them. Your old AK didn't have a Picatinny rail, but your new one does, so this will attach right on top real easy.
Cool, I said as I looked at the box. It said, Hollow Sun HS510C on the side, and the picture looked like a mini window with a red circle and dot on it.
How much? That one's $330. Hollow Sun's a good value brand. It could take a beating and still work just fine. Battery will also last forever, too. It'll turn off when you aren't moving the rifle around. Cheaper red dots will work fine at the range, but if you're out hunting or whatever, and you drop it, the thing might break. I can also order you more expensive ones with better glass and magnification. But this Hollow Sun will get you out to 200 yards with that Galil Ace with enough practice. It'll be you and not the rifle or the sight. That's the weak part of the equation, if you know what I mean.
I'll take it, I said. Also, I think I need a strap for the rifle, a holster for the Glock 17, and some mags for it.
Good.
He nodded and then glanced at Amrila in her fancy sunglasses.
What are you doing for safety glasses? I've got some nice ones over in the far corner of the store.
Oh, crap, I chuckled. I'm actually not wearing any. I just need some clear ones. Maybe four if you have them, just in case we lose any.
Got it,
Nathan said.
Seems like you're really getting into shooting. Ever thought about a light laser attachment? The new rifle has rails on top and sides, unlike your old AK, so you can put a few accessories on it if you want.
I said as I thought about it. If I have a red dot, do I really need a laser?
Probably not, but if you're doing any home defense or room clearing, helps to be able to hold the rifle out from around the corner and see where it's pointing without being behind the weapon. You said you're using this more for hunting and target practice, so maybe you don't need them. I'd like to sell you all the things, but I also want my customer to feel like I'm giving them good advice. It's also one of those things where you might not ever need them, but if you do, you'll wish you had them.
I think I'm going to get used to shooting the new rifle with the red dot, I said after I thought for a few more moments. Then I'll add a flashlight and maybe laser sight later. I'm changing a lot with my loadout, and I don't want to have to get used to a bunch of different attachments on the gun. Nathan nodded and grabbed me a nice-looking strap. Then he showed me how to attach it to my new rifle. Then he got me the clear safety glasses, the holster for my new Glock, and two extra mags before he rang me up. The whole deal ended up being just shy of $4,000. But instead of freaking out about the cost, I just handed him my debit card with a big smile on my face.
It's been a pleasure, as always,
Nathan said as he reached out to shake my hand. Amrila had gotten bored while the wild-haired man was ringing everything up, so she was wandering around the store, waiting for me to get finished. I looked around to check where she was, and then I leaned in toward the man in the camo vest. Thanks for not asking a bunch of questions about my friend, I whispered. I'm sure she gets tired of explaining how she looks to people.
Don't think I'm not curious, Nathan snorted. But as a man with a unique appearance myself, I know the burden of being the swan among the ducks.
I smiled at the eccentric man, said goodbye, and promised to come back soon. Then Amreel and I got back into the truck and headed home. As soon as we pulled in, my beautiful wife came bounding out of the house with an exuberant smile on her face, and she ran right up to the passenger side door of the truck and swung it open before the Zinkari woman could get out.
It came!
The elven woman squealed.
Your bed came, and I have it all set up for you, sweet sister.
Ibsith grabbed the horned woman by the hand and nearly dragged her into the house. Amrila protested a little, but the white-haired woman didn't pay her any mind. I chuckled to myself as I watched the two women run into the house, and then I fetched my new rifle and the bags from the surplus store from the back of the truck before I followed them. But as I turned back toward the house, I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. I looked back at the largest house in the cul-de-sac, the one that belonged to Brock Stanton, and saw him coming out onto his porch. The thick, bald man stopped at the edge of his porch and blatantly stared in my direction. I felt a little dread in the pit of my stomach. At least he wasn't trying to hide the fact he was spying on us anymore, but I couldn't understand why he was so obsessed with me. I kept the place much nicer than my grandpa had, and while I did have two very unusual-looking women living with me, we kept to ourselves. I lifted my hand in a friendly wave and forced a smile toward Brock. The bald man waved back, but I couldn't tell if he was smiling. There was just something about the type A nut job I didn't like, and I was sure he didn't like me either. The dread in my stomach didn't let go, and I had a feeling something bad was going to happen sooner rather than later. But for now, I turned back toward the house and tried to put my nosy neighbor out of my mind. I set down the bags in the living room and followed the sound of Ibsith's giggles into the hallway and toward the spare bedroom. Well, Amrila's room now, I guess. The two women were sitting on the queen-sized bed, which took up most of the floor space in the small room, and the blue-skinned woman had made the bed and everything for her friend. The comforter set that Amrila had picked was a black-on-red pattern of fleur-de-lis, which matched the black metal bed frame and the solid black chest of drawers. I looked over at the women, both of whom were smiling. Do you like it? I asked Amrila.
I really do, partner.
The red-skinned woman said, and her broad grin showed the slightest hints of her sharp canine teeth. I felt a warmth in my chest at seeing the strong, serious woman's guard come down, even that little bit.
You should get your shoes on,
the red-skinned woman said with a sly smile to Ibsith.
Eddie wants to take us to the woods and show us how to use the guns.
Amrila's smile was broad, and she practically bounced with excitement. but Ibsith looked up at me with timid eyes.
Aren't guns dangerous?
She said in a small voice. They can be, I replied, but that's why you need to learn how to use them safely. Even if you never have to use any of the guns in the house, you've got to know the basics of gun safety.
If that's what you want me to do.
The white-haired woman said in a meek tone. It's okay, I chuckled as I saw the concern on my wife's face. It's perfectly safe, as long as you understand the correct way to use them. It's actually really fun. I think you're going to love it.
They are very loud,
Amrila added.
But Eddie acquired ear protection for all of us. I think it'll be great fun.
You'll both want to change before we go, too, I pointed out. You'll want sturdy shoes and pants that cover your legs, since we'll have to do a bit of hiking to get where we're going to. With that, I got my old AK and high point pistol and checked them over while the ladies packed up some food and drinks in the cooler. Once I'd made sure both the rifle and the handgun were in working order, I spent some time on YouTube watching videos about sighting in my new rifle and red dot. It all seemed pretty easy, so as soon as I felt like I somewhat knew what I was doing, we all loaded up the truck and headed out into the country. One of the best parts of living in Ohio was all the wilderness. Despite being a small, well-populated state, we had an incredible amount of woods, farmland, and hilly wilderness to get lost in. I knew a spot an hour or so away where my buddies and I used to go shooting when we were in high school. There was even a makeshift shooting range made out of 2x4s and old plywood where we would set up cans, bottles, and all sorts of targets to practice on. It was far enough away from people that I wasn't worried about anyone hearing us as we practiced. And there were no houses for miles, so it'd be safe. We headed down some winding back roads until I found the dead end where my buddies and I had always parked when we came out here, and then I stopped the truck. We gotta walk from here, I said as I got out and started to unload the rifle bags. It's not far, though. Ibsith and Amrila both got out of the truck and helped me unload the cooler, the spare ammo, some folding lawn chairs, and so on. Then we walked through the warm, buzzing forest for a few minutes, and I could hear the sounds of wildlife everywhere. Years of hunting in the woods like these had taught me how to pick up on the signs of game, and I knew from the way some of the undergrowth was matted down that a group of deer came and rested here on a regular basis. When I looked around at the trees, I could see signs that a large buck made this his territory, from places where he'd scraped off the bark with his antlers. These woods felt as much like home as my double wide, and I loved it here. When we came to the cobbled-together range I'd set up with my friends 6 or more years ago, I started to set out the guns and made sure the magazines were full and ready to go while the ladies set up the chairs and then came over to watch what I was doing. Now, I said as I stood with the Bulgarian AK in my hands, with the barrel pointed safely down and away. The rules of gun safety. 1, always treat guns as if they're loaded, even if you're sure they're not. 2, never point a gun at anything you don't want to destroy or kill. 3, never put your finger on the trigger unless you have your target in your sights and you've made up your mind to shoot. And 4, always be aware of what's behind your target. If your bullet goes through your target, whatever's on the other side might get destroyed or killed too. So always be certain of what's behind your target before you shoot. The women nodded solemnly, and I handed them their ear protection and put mine on too. Then we went up to the range, and I set up some pine cones and a few of the rusting cans that were laying around from other people's shooting practice. Once it was all set up, I handed the AK to Amrila and showed her how to hold it properly and how to set her feet so she wouldn't be pushed back by the recoil. Great! I nearly shouted so the red-skinned woman could hear me through the earmuffs. So, first pull back the charging handle, this thing here, and you'll feel the click as the bullet slides into place. Then put it back up to your shoulder, just like I showed you. The Zinkari woman patiently followed my instructions with a deep concentration. Good, I said loud enough for her to hear through her ear protection. Now, take a deep breath in, and on the exhale, slowly squeeze the trigger. Don't pull it. The horned woman breathed in, and as she let her breath go, she squeezed the trigger. A single bullet went flying from the barrel and hit the plywood at the back of the makeshift range. But all the pine cones and cans remained standing.
Son of a greased pig!
The black-eyed woman growled. It's okay, I grinned. That was only your first time. You can try again. I worked with Amrila until she was able to hit most of the shots. The AK jumped a lot when she fired, but we were shooting targets only 30 yards away, which was well within an ideal range for the 30-year-old weapon. Next was Ibsith's turn. It took a little longer to talk the elven woman through the process, because she was more nervous than the Zinkari woman had been. But when my wife finally pulled the trigger and almost managed to hit a can on her first try, she looked up at me with a radiant smile.
"It is so powerful,"
Ibsith said loudly enough for me to hear.
"I have never felt anything like this."
We set the guns down and then put up the cool new targets Nathan had sold me. These ones weren't quite as fun as shooting at cans or pine cones, but the black targets lit up bright yellow when the bullets hit them, and we could go through a whole magazine without changing the target. After we'd all fired the old Bulgarian AK a few more times, I took out the Galil while the girls set up a new target. And holy shit, I could feel the difference right away with the new rifle. The action of the bolt was smoother, and the rifle was way lighter, and the trigger was more sensitive. I felt like I barely had to touch it after being used to the old AK. I followed Nathan's instructions and moved back 12 or so yards, laid down on my stomach, and aimed at the red bullseye of the target. My first shot was a tiny bit to the right, so I used the wrench tool to tweak my front sight just a hair. My second shot was perfectly in the middle of the bullseye, and so were my next two, so I backed up till I guessed I was at 50 yards and repeated the same process. Now my shots were a bit low, so I followed the instruction manual that came with the gun to adjust my front sight. Then I was soon getting everything in the bullseye, and I couldn't help but smile with each smooth pull of the trigger. This new rifle was so much nicer than my old one that I almost couldn't believe it, and I couldn't wait to take it down to the gloom. Let's try this guy. I opened up the Hollow Sun red dot box, figured out how to get the battery in, and attached it to the rail on top of the rifle, just like how I saw in one of the YouTube videos. The sight was perfectly set at eye level when I aimed down it, but the dot was way off, so I just repeated the earlier steps I had with the iron sights on the red dot by spinning the side dials with the included screwdriver tool. 5 minutes and some 6 bullets later, I was putting the bullets into the bullseye with ease at 50 yards, and I was blown away by how easy it was to just put the red dot on the target and light it up. It felt like I was aiming 10 times faster with the red dot than with the iron sights, and I was super grateful Nathan had brought it up at the store, or else I would have never thought about buying one. I let the ladies each try the Galil so they could feel the difference, and they both commented about how easy it was to use with the red dot. Once we'd all fired a few more magazines, I went over the pistols, which both of the women found easy to hold and use but harder to aim. It was a blast, no pun intended. Once we'd all fired off the Glock and the High Point several times each, we sat down and ate the sandwiches Ibsith had packed. Then we talked and joked until the sky started to turn pink along the horizon. It had been another wonderful day, and I was becoming more fond of our little family with each passing moment. On the ride home, Ibsith sat next to me and fell asleep with her head on my arm, and I looked over at Amrila and caught her eyes as she was staring over at the beautiful elven woman. Then the Zinkari woman and I smiled at each other over Ibsith's head, and I couldn't remember the last time I'd felt so happy. It was getting dark by the time we got back to Westhurst. Ibsith woke up as the truck came to a stop, and she looked around at the Zinkari woman and me.
"Did I sleep the whole way?"
the white-haired woman asked, and her violet eyes were wide and embarrassed.
"I didn't snore, did I? You sounded like a wild hog in the gloom growth."
Amrila teased the elven woman with a playful grin.
"I did not,"
Ibsith protested, but she was giggling at the same time.
You did not,"
the horned woman agreed with a throaty laugh.
"You look like a water fairy sleeping on her lily."
I smiled at the ladies as they bannered back and forth, and then I opened the driver's side door to get out and saw Mr. Brock Stanton as he crossed the cul-de-sac and headed toward us. Fucking great. The end to a perfect day. "You ladies go ahead inside," I said as I turned back to them. "I'll carry everything in." I didn't have to tell Ibsith twice. The blue-skinned woman headed inside without a word. She hated Brock after he made a comment the other day when she was bringing in a package from outside. Brock had shouted across the street that his son owned a bigger house than I did. If she ever wanted to trade up, and while his comments annoyed me, they particularly pissed off my elven wife. She'd almost been ready to march across the street and give Brock a piece of her mind, but I managed to grab her at the last second and just told her to ignore him. Brock could say what he wanted about me. I was the man with 2 hot women living in my home and an endless wealth of gold at my disposal, and he was just a nosy, jealous asshole. Amrila hated Brock too, but she was also a lot feistier than Ibsith and less obedient, so the red-skinned woman lingered next to the side of the truck a minute as I got out. "Don't worry, partner," I smiled at the horned woman. "I've got this."
"We could always stab him,"
the black-eyed woman joked, but she also bared her sharp teeth slightly. "Go on inside," I snorted. "I'll be there in a minute." The Zinkari woman shot one last death glare at Stanton before she followed the night elf woman inside. Then I turned and waited for Brock to finish crossing the asphalt so I could see what the fuck he wanted.
"Hell,"
the thick man said as he thrust out a beefy hand at me.
"Doing all right?"
"Yeah," I said as I forced a friendly smile. "How've you been?"
"Just got a contract with a grocery chain in Cleveland," Brock bragged. "So I can't complain. Gonna make a bunch of money."
Stanton ran a security consulting firm, but the bald man also headed up the local neighborhood watch and had essentially appointed himself as the sheriff of the cul-de-sac. The only thing he hated more than me, it seemed, were the two teenage boys who lived next to him and had a terrible metal band that practiced in their mom's garage frequently.
"I couldn't help but notice your new fence," Brock continued. "Looks great."
But there was something in his face that told me he wasn't actually happy about it. "Thanks," I replied as I ignored the tone. I noticed it needed a lot of work. It made more sense to just replace most of it than try to patch it up.
"I don't remember seeing a new build permit posted anywhere on your property while you were putting it up,"
Brock said with mock concern.
"You really got to remember to post those clearly. The fines for not having one are no joke."
"I'll keep that in mind in the future," I plastered on a stiff smile, and then I started to turn to leave.
"I heard what sounded like some light construction work after you put up the fence,"
Stanton hammered on.
"But I'm sure you got a permit for that, too."
"Was there anything you needed, Brock?" I asked, and I was starting to sound a little annoyed now. This asshole was wearing on my last nerve, which was a difficult thing to do. I tried to get along with everyone, but Brock was quickly approaching a line he didn't want to cross with me.
"No."
The beefy man shook his head and slapped on a big phony smile.
"Just wanting to welcome you and your mail-order wives to the neighborhood."
"What?" My tone was suddenly deadly cold.
"Ah, come on," Brock said as his smirk widened. "I'm just joking around. I'm sure they're here legally, right? Say, where are they from? I can never quite place their accents."
"I think you left your business over there, Brock." I pointed to his gaudy large house. "You should probably go mind it." Brock's eyes narrowed at me, and his smirk started to look more like a snarl.
"You have a good night, Eddie,"
Stanton said, and he somehow made the statement hover on the edge of a threat.
"You too, Brock,"
I replied with a wink and a grin. Stanton turned and stomped away, and I could tell by how red the back of his big neck was that he was pissed he wasn't able to intimidate me. I turned and headed back to the house, as I took deep breaths, because I wasn't about to let that nosy goon ruin the rest of the night. Luckily, as I came up to the porch, there was an Amazon package sitting in the corner that the ladies must have missed when they were taking in the groceries, and my mood instantly improved as I realized it was the sweet-ass Sword and Supreme Pro X LED headphones. I couldn't wait to try them out, so I quickly forgot about my run-in with Brock as I scooped the box up. I got back into the house with all the gear. I could hear the shower running, and I found Amrila sitting on the couch looking through the options on a streaming service to find something to watch. Ibsith and the horned woman had started to pick up on the English alphabet, but reading in English was still difficult for them both, so they partially relied on voice command features and the video previews when working the TV. I took a deep breath and tried to clear my head as I sat down next to Amrila. "Is Ibsith in the shower?" I asked as the red-skinned woman selected a reality show we all enjoyed watching together.
"Yes,"
Amrila said as she settled in.
"She said she smelled of guns. What do you have there?"
"My new noise-canceling headphones for shooting," I chuckled. "I got a pair for you, too. Ibsith probably means she smells like gunpowder. It's what's in the bullet casing that causes the explosion, which then propels the bullet from the gun."
"You sound like Durgan the Dwarf when he tries to explain his forge to me,"
Amrila laughed.
"What did the asshat want?"
I couldn't help but snort with laughter. Both the ladies had started to pick up modern phrases from watching TV, but without a greater cultural context, they would just come out at random and catch me off guard. "Just to be an asshat," I replied. "He can go fuck himself."
"I imagine he has, too,"
the Zinkari woman said in a casual tone.
Who else would?
Let's see these things, I said as I opened up the Amazon box. From the hour or so of research I'd done online, the Sword and Supreme Pro X LED headsets were pretty much the best noise-canceling shooting headsets you could buy, and I'd ordered three of them in various camo patterns, with the upgraded gel ear cups.
They're nicer than the ones we wore earlier today when we shot?
Amrila asked as I passed her one of them. Yeah, I said. They dampen the sound of gunshots and then make other noises louder. They should help us when sneaking around in the gloom.
Magic, then.
The beautiful woman nodded. Well, not quite. I laughed as I opened up one of the boxes and started to figure out how to put the batteries in. As soon as I'd set up my headset, I put the batteries in Amrila's, and then we both put them on. The switch is here, I said as I showed her how to adjust the volume on the side with the buttons.
They are much more comfortable than the ones we wore earlier today,
the horned woman said, but then she gasped and adjusted her volume.
It made my own voice loud in my head.
Yeah, I chuckled as I realized I could hear Ibsith's feet squeak in the bathtub from where we sat on the couch. They're really sensitive. Wow, they're totally awesome. Let me try this. I raised my hands in front of us, and then I clapped as hard as I could. Sure enough, I felt the impact of my palms coming together, but I didn't hear the slapping sound. Amrila's dark eyes opened wide, and she let out a laugh as she clapped a few times.
Very strong magic. I can hear much better, but I can't hear the loud clapping. I can see how this will be very useful when you're shooting your guns. Is this one really for me?
Yeah, I said as I took off my headset. You need to wear it when you're with me so my gunshots don't damage your ears.
Thank you,
Amrila said softly, and then she took the headset off, glanced down at them, and then ran her fingers along the soft parts of the ear pads.
These are very nice. You are very nice to me, partner.
No problem, I said as I smiled at her. We'll both take care of each other, okay?
Okay.
She nodded.
Still, you should let me stab Brock. Then he won't bother us anymore. That will be me taking care of us.
We both laughed for a moment and then settled into watching the reality show. There was a voting ceremony about to happen, but I hadn't been following closely enough to care which contestant got voted off next.
Eddie,
the horned woman said after a moment.
Partner, I want you to know I'm very happy here.
There was a note to her rich voice that let me know there was going to be more to her statement. I'm happy having you here, I replied as I turned to face her. But I left the word hanging as I looked at the gorgeous Inkari.
But I am starting to feel restless,
the black-eyed woman said bluntly.
Also, if I keep sitting around here, I will grow fat. I simply cannot have that.
I'm feeling a little restless too, I laughed. And I've been thinking about the fact that Ursinger is still after Ebsith. I don't want to wait around and just hope he and his men never figure out how to get to the surface.
Then I think it is about time we go back to the gloom, partner.
Amrila said with a fierce smile.
We should try out these new headsets and your new weapons.